186. That was actually your request of two different families, so it's encouraging that we have more than one Mexican family that like the same song, so we'll do it. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood?
Let's stand.
Why not? Let's stand, please. Why don't we do men on verse 2, ladies on verse 4, and then everybody together on 1, 3, and 5, okay?
street, the rich in their palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the man of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. Saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save a sinner like me. Was I so bad that I needed forgiveness? And was I so wrong that I had to be redeemed? Well, I wasn't a thief, but I lived in sin's prison. So I was as lost as a sinner could be. Saves all sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save a sinner like me. Saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save a sinner like me. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me.
How old are you, Jason?
35.
You're an old sinner? An old sinner, say. All right, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 here tonight. Let's take a look at the scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10, and starting at verse 35. We've been studying here, verse by verse, the book of Hebrews, and we've been looking at the subject of drawing back. And one of the things that the book of Hebrews constantly does, it keeps putting forth Jesus Christ as the only hope for sinners. And back when the book of Hebrews was written, it was written in the very first century. And there was a problem among the believers and even unbelievers in Jesus Christ, and mostly among the Jewish community, to go back to the Old Testament way, go back to the temple worship, go back underneath the law, go back to the sacrifices, animal sacrifices and everything, instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I always keep pointing over this way because I like to use this door over here, The men know that they have to go through that door to get downstairs to the men's room, all right? But I like to use that door in a spiritual way, that there's the cross in front of that door, and there's Jesus hanging on that cross. And of course, he died, was then buried, and rose again from the grave. And in order to have eternal life, to get through that door and go on into eternal life, you've got to go through Jesus Christ. And the problem in the book of Hebrews was many people were coming right up to the cross. They were being presented with all that Jesus Christ had done for them. And some of them were thinking about going ahead and trusting Christ and entering right on through on into eternal life. And by the way, that's the only way you can get saved. You got to be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. It's the only way onto eternal life. And if you come right up to that cross and you hear in your ears the great salvation he's provided for you, how he died there, he paid for your sins, shed his blood for your sins, was buried, rose again, and conquered death for you. If you reject that and go back to the old way, there's no hope. For there is no salvation in any other but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a preacher of the gospel, I really have no other message to preach other than you've got to come by the way of the cross. Yeah, well, preacher, what about my good works? What about it? No matter how many good works you have, you're still a poor lost sinner, like we just heard in that song. A poor lost sinner. Yeah, but I'm not too bad. I'm not as bad as some other people are. You know, don't compare yourself. We're all lost. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only remedy for the lost sinner that I know of as presented in the Bible, and where else are you going to go to get the gospel? But right here, is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? I mean, if you died right on the spot here tonight, do you know where you're going to be? Let's say 5 minutes after you die. Where are you going to be? Well, I kind of hope. You know, hope is not good enough. You got to know this before you take that last breath. You need to know this for sure. You say, well, I got a good minister and he's doing everything he can to help me get there. No, the minister can't get you there. The only one who can get you there is my Savior, Jesus Christ, hanging on this cross. You know, I point here. I hope you understand what I'm saying. He died on the cross for your sins. You must go by the way of the cross in order to enter into eternal life. And so our passage here this evening in chapter 10 is warning people about turning away from that cross. And we've looked at several verses. Look at verse 26, for instance, Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Where else are you going to go to take care of your sin problem? Who else has paid the price for your sin? And by the way, you can't pay for your own sin. Well, I'll make a deal with God someday. When I get there, I'll give him $1 million to let me into heaven. It won't work. Well, some were even thinking, well, I bring sacrifices to the temple and the Levitical priests kill my sacrifice for me and put it on the altar. The Bible says the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. The blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ, can. Because you see, he never sinned. He's holy and without sin. And what he did there is sufficient to save everybody in the whole world if they want to. Anybody can get saved. You know John 3:16, don't you? All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That, what's the next word? Whosoever. Whosoever. That includes anybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, now we're at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Those two verses tell me drawing back away from the cross leads to perdition or being lost on your way to hell. You know, by the way, hell is in the Bible. And you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. Which way are you going? Where? Which one are you going to? Well, I'm going to purgatory in between. There's no such thing in the Bible. That's an invention of men. You're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And if you draw back, it leads to hell, not eternal reward. So the exhortation here is to retain confidence in the New Testament salvation presented previously in previous verses here in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he has reference to eternal life here because of, look at verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the, what is that word? Saving of the soul. Did you ever hear anybody ever say to you, are you saved? Has anybody ever come up to you and said, are you saved? And you might, what do you mean saved? Saved from what? You know, saved is in the Bible. It's a word, it's a doctrine in the Bible. And everybody needs to be saved. And you know why? Because everybody is lost in sin. And they need to be saved. Let me ask you, when did you get saved? When did you get saved? See, well, Pastor, you tell me, when did you get saved? When I was 10 years old. I'm glad you asked. When I was 10 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ in my bedroom, on my knees, at my bed with my dad right next to me. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior from my sin. And I know he did because the Bible tells me so. And I'm saved. And you know what? I'm still saved today. And I'll be saved tomorrow. And I'll be saved 10 years from now. And I'll be saved a million years from now when I'm walking down the streets of gold in heaven. Because what God does, he does completely. He doesn't do it halfway. He does it all the way. And by the way, he's the one who does the saving, not me. He saves me. So the encouragement in verse 35 here is, don't cast away your confidence because there is great reward, great recompense of reward for those who fully trust in Jesus Christ only as your personal Savior. What's the full reward? What is the great recompense of reward? How about this? Streets of gold. Home in heaven. We sang about victory in Jesus and the mansions that there are up there in heaven. And you're going to have eternal life instead of eternal death in hell. Eternal life in heaven. How about to be with Jesus forever in glory? Would you rather that or would you rather be with the devil in hell for all eternity? So, that's where he's going. And that's already settled in the Bible. That's where the devil's going. You don't want to go to the same place there. Don't you want to go to heaven? There's a great recompense of reward for trusting Jesus Christ, putting your confidence in what Jesus Christ has done for you. And verse 36 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience in tribulation brings assurance of eternal life and salvation promises. You know, for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I'm not going to say that once you get saved that everything's going to be like a bed of roses. You're going to have trouble and trials till we get to heaven. But one thing you know, I've already made the decision I need to make about eternal life when I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I did that when I was 10 years old. And, well, I still have some troubles and problems. I got cancer I got to deal with, you know. But you know what? I, with patience, am going to be with the Lord in heaven. And it's not a matter of, well, if I make it through, I'll get to heaven. I know I'm already on my way to heaven. And I'm glad that I don't have to be perfect and have no problems and no tribulations and no sicknesses and anything to get into heaven. That's already been taken care of at the cross by my Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 37, 38, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I would just like to ask you, who do you, and I don't want you to answer out, okay, because you might have the wrong answer. But who do you think this is talking about here? For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I hope you're saying in your mind, well, I think he wants us to say Jesus. That's right. When Jesus died on the cross, he was buried. 3 days and three nights later, he rose up from the grave. He appeared unto his disciples for 40 days. And then he ascended back to heaven where he came from. Do you know that's where Jesus came from? He was with the Father from eternity past. And he came down and was born of a virgin, a little baby. Then he grew up, walked among us, walked on this earth. Revealed who he was by the miracles and the walking on the water and the changing the water into wine and all the things that he did. Made the blind to see, raised the dead. All those things to show us who he was. And then he went to the cross and died for our sins there. And he was buried and rose again. And he ascended back to heaven. And when that event took place, we call it the ascension of Jesus Christ. The angels said to the disciples as they were watching him, you could just watch their eyes like this. Oh. And there went Jesus up into the clouds and he was gone out of their sight. The angels said, as you have seen him go, in like manner he's going to come back someday. And folks, guess what? I'm waiting for Jesus to come back at any time. And we're told to be ready because he could come back at any time. He may come back even before I die. So see how important it is that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior so that you know that you have eternal life. And also, you're ready if he should come back while you're still alive. That may happen. We call it the rapture of the church, where we're caught up to be with the Lord. And so verse 37 says, for yet a little while. Now, you know what? You know how long that little while has been? Almost 2,000 years. That's just a little while. You say, well, I don't know, preacher. That sounds like a long time to me. Yes, it may seem like a long time to you, but you know, wait until you have realized a few of the mighty cycles of eternity. And these 19 or 20 centuries will indeed appear to be a very little while. It won't seem like it was very long. And if you say, well, it's been 2,000 years. I mean, when is he going to come, preacher? You know, our lives are rather short. We only live 70, 80. If you get beyond 80, well, you know, thank God for the extra years you got. Hardly anybody lives beyond 95. Very few people reach 100. Let me ask you, are you ready? What if he should come today? The Bible declares he's coming back. And yet a little while, and he that shall come. Now, my Bible says shall come, not maybe will come, might come. Oh, we're kind of hoping that this fairy tale comes true. No, this is not a fairy tale. This shall happen. I like to be able to stand in the pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord. This is going to happen. Not maybe, might be, hope so. Well, you know, you have a dream that he's... No, he shall come. He's coming. Who's coming? Jesus is coming, and will not tarry. You know, the day he comes, the Father already knows when that day is. And he's not going to tarry it one day more simply because you did not take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's not going to say, well, I'll give Gary another day. He didn't trust my Savior yesterday. I'll give him another. No, when he comes, he'll not tarry, and it will be too late to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to do this now. You need to do this today. What do you need to do? Get saved. That's what you need to do. Get born again. Receive eternal life. That's what you need to do. And if you have not done that, I would like to say, I would love to help you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're a man, after the service, come on up to me and I'll be glad to show you the way. If you're a woman, my wife will be glad to show you the way. Or any of the others here that know the Lord as their Savior already, they'd be glad to show you the way of eternal life and get saved. Don't tarry another day, because the Lord may come back before you make that decision. It would be too late. Verse 38 and 39, now the just shall live by faith. Look at that, see? By faith. You don't live by works. You live by faith. But if any man draw back, and I believe that's drawing away from the cross onto something else. Maybe church membership, your infant baptism, your catechism. In those days, it was the Jew going back to the temple worship, the animal sacrifices, the priesthood and everything. Drawing back. Verse 38 says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Don't think that somehow you'll get away with it. Get away with what? Rejecting Jesus Christ. You won't get away with that. There is no other way to be saved other than through Christ. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Who are the we? We who have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we believe to the saving of our soul. How about your soul? Is it saved? Is your soul saved? You know, if your soul's saved, your body will be saved too. And your spirit will be also. Your soul needs to be saved. Jesus paid the price to save your lost soul. Why not let him save you tonight? Let him in. Let him into your heart. Let him save your lost soul. Trust him as your Savior. Acknowledge your sinfulness. Acknowledge your inability to save yourself and say, I need the Christ of the cross to save my soul. And let him save you tonight. Let us turn over to number 572. And we'll close with this song, The Mercy Seat. I always like this song too. I know the Flories have their special. And Linda and Abigail have their favorite number. This is one of my favorite numbers. The Mercy Seat, I think it says a lot of things. And let's sing it, and then we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Number 572. The Mercy Seat is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, okay? From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm assuring tree, 'tis found beneath the earth. can all sit down for just one moment. Emma, bring your sisters up here with you. All right. Come and stand next to me. Boy, oh boy, these are the cutest little girls that I know of. Oh. You know what? Let's sing Jesus Loves Me. You know Jesus Loves Me. Jason, can you play for these girls? Okay.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Thank you very much. You can go back to your seat. It makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross for those three little girls. Pray that they all know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at a very young age and serve Him all the days of His life. Their life. Oh, wow. So where are you guys going tonight? You going back home? You're going back home tonight. All right. And Linda, Abigail, Shirley, what are you guys doing tomorrow? You're going west, aren't you?
In the morning.
Leroy, you're not going with them? Yeah. Well, I pray that you will have a safe time and a good time. And that the Flores will have a safe trip home. And okay, let's have a word of prayer be dismissed. Our Father, we do thank you for the good time of fellowship we had here tonight. We pray for the Flores that you give them safety as they travel home tonight. And be with Linda, Abigail, and Shirley. Give them a good vacation going out west. Be with all the rest of us. Help us to serve you faithfully and live for the Lord. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.